Will you turn with me to the letter of Paul to the Romans in chapter 12, and we consider verse 12 once again, and the third element that we have here in this verse, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant or steadfastly in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. It has no doubt become commonplace to us to think of prayer in terms of that which is most needful for the life and witness of the Christian and the church. It is no doubt something we have heard often enough, that if a man or a woman, or a young person for that matter, who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be fruitful in the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, then their fruitfulness will be in proportion or relation to their prayerfulness. And it's no surprise that there is this element, an emphasis here in this 12th chapter of Romans, in which Paul is dealing with the practical religion, the application of the gospel in the lives of men and women. And whatever else may be true of a professing Christian, there must be what we have here in this chapter as a whole, but not least in what we have in this third aspect of verse 12, continuing steadfast or instant, continuing steadfast in prayer. And I dare say that there will be little progress in Christian faith and life if there is default here, if there is shortage here. There will be little progress spiritually, and there will be little effectiveness in the church and in the Christian and his witness without what we have here in verse 12. Where prayer is found, there is life, there is spiritual life. Where true prayer is found, where prayer diminishes, there will be spiritual inertia leading to death. Well, a Christian or a Christian church without prayer, we could liken it to various things. We could liken it to having a heater in your house without a plug or a flex. Not much use a heater if you can't plug it in to a source of electricity. It's a bit like a light without a switch. How do you get the light on if you don't have a switch? It's like a body without a bleeding, without a beating heart. You can't imagine it. There is no life in the body where there is no beating heart. There is no life in a person for which there isn't a beating heart of prayer to the Lord. When we think of this third phase in verse 12, we notice three elements in this phrase. And the first is this: what we are to do, pray. The second is, when we are to pray, continue. And the third is, how we are to pray, that is to say, with what spirit or determination, steadfastly. What we are to do, pray, continue, steadfast in prayer. So prayer is the focus here. This is what the Christian is to do. This is what the Christian is to be about. This is a first principle and a first priority of a Christian in the conduct of their lives. A former poet laureate called John Masefield said once, figuratively speaking, of course, not irreverently, he said, God warms his hands at man's heart when he prays. Breathing, we know, is a sign that a person has life. Where there is no breath, there is no life. Praying is a sign of a person having spiritual breath. When Ananias was sent to Saul in the street called Straight in Damascus, he didn't know what he was going to find. All that he knew, Ananias, was that Paul had persecuted Christians, and that was the reason he was there in Damascus. So how would he know? How would he know that things were fine and good when he went to meet this persecutor Saul? And he was told, the Lord assures Ananias by saying that there would be seen in Paul that which was a sign of a new man. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. The sign of a new man. If the battery of your car is dead, no matter how much you turn over the ignition, it ain't going to work. It isn't going to go. So it is with prayer and the church. If there are these people not praying, then the church is not going to go. But what is involved? When we think, very briefly here, and this is, as I mentioned at the beginning, to you quite commonplace, yet it's something that we need to remind ourselves of constantly, perhaps even daily. What is involved? Continuing earnest or instant in prayer. Well, prayer is, first of all, it is speaking with God. As simple as that, really, in a sense. It is speaking with the Lord. Prayer is taking your concerns, whatever they may be, to Him. It is communion with God. It is the secret place, going into the secret place and speaking with Him. It is recognizing on your part your need for Him or for His grace. And it is the conviction, too, as we do so, that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think. The man or woman going to God must have that conviction in their hearts when it comes to prayer. God hears, and He will answer abundantly as I go in faith to Him, as I go with repentance to Him as well, as I go sorrowing for my sins. I can go with this conviction. He is able. He is able. And all this is the evidence, isn't it, from the prayers, the many prayers that we have in the Bible. We are to take everything to Him in prayer. And all the teaching that we have in the Bible as well, such as the passage which we read earlier from Luke chapter 11. This brings home to us the necessity of prayer and the privilege of prayer and the fruitfulness of it as well. We are to take everything to the Lord in prayer. There is no concern that we cannot take to Him. As Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And that everything means everything. We can go through our lives day by day and have a little thought to those everythings that we're to take to the Lord in prayer. And Jesus provided the instruction for personal prayer when He writes in the sermon, or when He preached in the Sermon on the Mount, which we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Here is something that the Christian soul is to do. It is to speak with the Lord and to go to Him with everything. And the health and well-being of our souls depends upon this exercise, spiritually speaking. It is speaking with the Lord. But prayer, this is another very important aspect of prayer, and that is, it is a means or an instrument in receiving from the Lord. It is not just that you go to the Lord and unburden yourself to him, but there is also the question of receiving from him. We go with a view to receiving. This is what I mean here. And we have one for thinking this in what we read in Luke chapter 11, where Jesus says, I say to you, he's given them, upon request, he's given them the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer. And then he goes on to enlarge upon this. He says, I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You ask, you go in prayer to the Lord to ask, to seek, and to knock. It is a means of receiving from the Lord. And we would have to say that if a soul does not go asking and seeking and knocking, it cannot be expected that they would receive, notwithstanding that the Lord undeservedly bestows his gifts so freely upon ungrateful people. But when we pray for ourselves and others, when we pray for daily bread, when we pray for health, when we pray for souls to be saved, when we pray for the understanding of the word, we are praying for things that we need. We're asking for things which the Lord we desire should give us. We are to pray for the Holy Spirit to empower. Are our lives lacking in assurance? Pray for it. Are our lives lacking in effective witness? Pray for it. Are our lives lacking in Christian piety and love and obedience? Pray for them. Don't stop praying for them. But such is the instrumentality of prayer that if we don't pray for these things, we will not receive. There is an order here. Ask, seek, and knock. And these things will be given, will be opened up. It is like a power line to the very throne of God. It will bring assurance, it will bring comfort, and it will bring direction to our lives. After all, in its nature, prayer involves people like us going humbly before God. There cannot be such a thing as prayer which does not involve humility. There must be humility if we are going to our Maker, if we are going to our Savior in prayer. There must be humility. In its nature, it means we are coming low before God. True prayer will always seek His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Though the answers might not be immediate, we are to go. It is speaking with God, and it is a means of receiving from God. Receiving spiritual blessings, but not only spiritual blessings, also blessings relating to our lives as a whole. The necessity of it. How about your prayers? These are things to be reevaluated week by week, perhaps day by day, lest we forget. What we are to do, pray, when we are to do it, continue or to tie up with the idea of when, continuously. Continuing instant in prayer. There's an interesting mark of the early church that this is what they did. This was seen amongst the early Christians. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Continued in prayers. Acts 2:42. It's an aspect of perseverance. Jesus illustrates this in his teaching in prayer when he speaks about, in the passage we read in Luke chapter 11, about the man coming at midnight looking for a loaves from a friend. The friend's not inclined to do anything, but this man continues and he persists. And we're told in that particular scenario that the man was not inclined to give him because he was a friend, but because of his importunity. It's very likely the parable that we have in Luke chapter 18, which in some marginal reference Bibles such as our AV here refers to Luke chapter 18 and the persistence of the woman in that instance with the unjust judge. The unjust judge is a contrast with God. God is not like that. Notwithstanding, the woman persists in getting justice and she goes on and on. And finally, she receives. It is continuing. Keep on until the answer comes. Keep on in praying. This is the principle of the effective fervent prayer, which avails much, that James talks about in his letter 5:16. And the principle is stated by Paul elsewhere, writing to the Thessalonians in a list of necessities for true and effective Christian living. He includes among these things in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing, he says. Pray without ceasing. Now, this is an encouragement, praying without ceasing, to cultivate a spirit of prayer constantly. We should never talk about prayer in terms of the formality of it. Nevertheless, you know what I mean when I say that the formal or the formal exercises of prayer, as in what Jesus speaks about, going into your closet, kneeling down, praying, as you go into your home, go in by yourself, kneel down and pray. The formal exercises of prayer on your knees in the closet, that is one thing. But there are situations throughout our days when we need the help of the Lord. And this is the idea of praying without ceasing and continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing means continuing day by day, not letting up day by day. Doesn't mean that there is a formal exercise of prayer continuously. But there is to be the cultivation, nevertheless, of a spirit of prayer continually. Because there are these situations when we need the help of the Lord. And we must have such a spirit of prayer as the first resort in our lives. The first thing we will do when we are faced, as we go through the day with some issue or another, we will pray to the Lord concerning it. And this is the part of the thrust of what we have in this continuing in prayer, or praying without ceasing. And if we thought and meditated upon the Lord more, we would be inclined to seek him more constantly as we face, as we do day by day, trying circumstances, or come to learn of the trying circumstances of others as well. This isn't just a thing in which we are consumed upon our own concerns, you see, but that of others as well. Or face opportunities for witnessing. need to have this spirit of prayer. When do we pray? Not just, well, I pray at such and such a time every day. That is good and necessary. But as we go through our days, pausing and stopping and bowing our heads, and meditating and praying to God that He would help in this situation and in that situation, such an attitude of prayer will give the believer a peaceable and quiet spirit rather than anxiety and panic. And we have that taught to us in what Paul teaches in the letter to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, be anxious for nothing. And you say, how can I be anxious for nothing? There are so many things that I can be anxious about. They're pressing in on me, left, right, and centre. Things causing me great distress and anxiety and so on. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we are to pray, what we are to do to pray, when we are to do it, constantly, continually, that is an obligation in relation to those times we set apart as we ought for prayer ourselves. And also, as we go through our day, our mind being attuned to what is happening and offering prayer to the Lord constantly. And then thirdly, there is how we are to do it. Steadfastly. The AV has instant in prayer. In the Greek text behind the English version, there is actually only one word, continuing steadfastly. The two ideas are there in the one word because it's a word that combines two Greek words together. And you can understand the two words being combined together, going together. You expect something that you are determined to continue in will involve steadfastness. If you're going to continue in something, you have to be steadfast, and it's a basic principle. If you're working on something in your home, if you're working on something in your garden, then there is a relationship between continuing and steadfastly. You can do things half-heartedly, but you ought to be doing things steadfastly and continuing steadfastly until the thing is all done. And this is how it should be with prayer. Professor Murray put it this way, John Murray. He says, the measure of perseverance in the midst of tribulation is the measure of our diligence in prayer. Prayer is the means ordained of God for the supply of grace sufficient for every exigency, and particularly against the faint-heartedness to which affliction tempts us. And this characteristic of steadfastness in prayer, if you like, doggedness and persistence in prayer, conscientiousness, is so necessary in the face of so many things. It's so necessary in the face of the strength of the foe, of the foes of the Lord. All that are arraigned against the church and against Christians. You've got to be steadfast if you're not going to weaken and falter in the cause. Think of those explorers going to the South Pole, or perhaps the North Pole as well, before they had ever been done. Captain Scott and his crew, if they were to reach the South Pole in 1912, they had to press on, or Amundsen, regardless of the odds against them. Even more important for the Christian in the spiritual area of things, in the spiritual warfare in which they are involved, facing the foe. And this ties in with the constant threat of the Christian. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. How is sin not going to have dominion over you? Well, one way is this. Continuing steadfast in prayer. Sin is not going to have dominion over you. And that is how you must be, that is how you must be exercised. We will not let iniquity prevail in our hearts. We will not allow iniquity to prevail in the church. What does it take for iniquity not to prevail? Steadfast, dogged, determined, continuing in prayer. Privately, personally, and corporately as well. When we come to a phrase like this, this third phrase of chapter 12 and verse 12, it's a searching challenge because it's in this area of prayer in which the church in our day is arguably weakest. And it's good for us to recognize, first of all, the necessity of prayer. To be convinced about the necessity of the prayer to the Lord. And then the necessity of prayer ceaselessly to be offered to the Lord. For all our needs and all our concerns and in the face of all our anxieties. And thirdly, the necessity for prayer to be steadfast. The well-being and spiritual health of our souls and of our church and our churches depends upon it. And we need to take ourselves constantly to the throne of grace. And our spiritual fruit depends upon it. The blessing of the Lord flows from it. And we should be praying, praying for the ministry, praying for souls to be saved, praying for spiritual fruit and encouragement and for power to resist the evil one. And to live our lives resisting temptation and to live our lives with holiness and quietness and confidence in the Lord. We need to live our lives praying, praying, Lord, give us a spirit of prayer. Lord, give us a desire to continue steadfastly and determinedly in it. That thy cause, Lord, might prosper. In the world, that thy cause might prosper in me. That Christ might be uplifted and honored through us. This is at once our greatest privilege and it's our greatest responsibility in the church. It doesn't matter what day we live in. We can never use an excuse about the day in which we live, but it's our greatest privilege and responsibility. What we have here, continuing, instant, in prayer. And the question for us is, are we doing it? Is this true of you? Is this true of us? Is it true of you? Is it true of me? May it be so. May the Lord be pleased to give us such a spirit of prayer before him that we would have this determination and conscientiousness as we hear the word of the apostle, continuing instant, continuing steadfast in prayer. And may the Lord bless his thoughts upon his holy word tonight.